sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex. In all of its myriad of forms and flavors, we are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. Because sex matter so much. Most of us can use a little help getting authentic with our sexual selves, and when we do, we all benefit. So we invite you to join us. Why? To remind us all, and perhaps better stated, help us know that sex matters. Period.
Welcome to
Sex Matters.
Period.
What?
What?
That's my favorite part.
And that is what the period is doing on the end of the Sex Matters.
That's
if you look
right.
At the Sex Matters, there's a period there. And that is just to make a pointed statement that sex matters. So, All right, Patricia, our topic today, this is going to be interesting and fun, size and Kegels. So
yes,
that's the topic. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay. So what I want to kind of dive into today is the idea of size, not for men so much as for women. Now, oftentimes, I know I was raised to look at a man's hand or his foot to see how big he was going to be in his pants, you know, all those things that tell you whether he's going to be, and then you're surprised or disappointed or excited or whatever, when the fly actually comes down, whatever. But guys don't have a way of doing that with a woman. And I don't think that it's as common knowledge as it should be, that there are different size vaginas. You know, it goes all the way back to the Kama Sutra that women have three different size, generally categorized sizes for their vaginas, and they are matched up with animals. And the same thing goes for men. So there's, you know, for the guys, let me see, it's the hair, which I would imagine would be itty bitty. The bull, which would be, we think a bull would be really big, but it's actually the average size, or the horse. And then in women, it's the deer, the mare, or the elephant.
Oh, wow.
So, and the matchups obviously go one with the other. So the hare would go with the deer, the bull with the mare, and the horse with the elephant. That is what the Kama Sutra says is your best sexual match. It does not mean that you cannot be sexually satisfied by somebody that is a different size or whatever, but your best sexual match is if you go with somebody in the categories according to your size. And to me, this makes a lot of sense if you really kind of think about it. I've been with a lot of men. I was challenged to come up with a number not too long ago, and it was up there, but it was part of my sexual research. It was part of my sexual exploration and the research that I did to become who I am today and become an expert in my field. So all that being said, it was all for science. So
all for science.
All for science, you know. But I really did find that I am an elephant. I'm able to handle anything. I can, and not many women can. Apparently it's very rare to be an elephant. And I never thought being an elephant would be a flattery kind of thing, but apparently it's a thing. So, and most people fall between the deer and the mare. However, the interesting part about the vagina is that it's like a bunched up sock, and it can be dilated and stretched. And obviously we can have babies through there. So it can swell, move, be contorted a little bit, you know, they're with enough stimulation, with enough lubrication, there is an expanse that happens in there. And all the folds that are inside your vagina stretch out and they envelop the penis.
So I have a question. Sure. I have two questions actually, but one, I want to go back to the hands and feet thing, because I know that's always been a thing. Like that's mm-hmm. always the joke.
Yeah.
And I can't remember, is there actual, like, does that actually, that there is no real science in that. Am I correct?
There is no science. Here's the science. The science is the anatomy of man. If you were to look at how we are built by design, we are very proportionate beings. There are different parts of our body. Everything is proportionate. Some people have longer waists and then they have longer arms. Some people, you know, there's just the size of your fist is supposed to be the size of your heart. We have so many things that are actually a part of your skeletal design, your muscular design, your genetic design, all of that sort of stuff. The size of a penis can be affected by a lot of things. I'm going to make a joke. It's not like when you get a baby turtle and you put it in an aquarium. The bigger the aquarium, the bigger the turtle will be. That doesn't work like that. They do say that gravity affects the size of the flaccid penis, that, you know, if you don't wear very tight underwear, if you wear boxers or briefs or whatever, that the gravity will help lengthen the penis.
Interesting.
There is also the cold factor, of course, and we live in Minnesota, so most men's cocks here in Minnesota are sucked up inside their bodies for 9 months of the year. So, I mean, like, it really, cold affects things. So, there really isn't. And it's the same thing for women. I mean, women don't have the gravity thing to fall back on. I mean, we're born with what we've got. Sometimes after childbirth, the openings are bigger or smaller because of the episiotomies, or there might be some tearing or anything like that that happens. And it can get loose up in there for a woman. You know, you hear that phrase that she's had four kids, she's loose. Mm-hmm. That can be tightened. And that's what we're going to talk about the Kegel thing about, is about tightening up those muscles in the pelvic floor and stimulating your sexual experience by being in control of your muscular actions down there.
So I have another follow-up question for
sure.
You and your statement of being an elephant. So, so you said that you can handle all sizes. So my question is, because I think of how men perceive their own size. So can you be satisfied by any size? Does it, you know, yes, you can handle all sizes, and is satisfaction, I mean, granted, there's more than one way to satisfy a person. So I don't necessarily see this as a problem. It's more of an adjustment, because every person, right. Okay. Because every person they're shaped differently anyway. Right.
Yeah.
So if you've got, you know, you can have people of similar sizes, but if they hit you differently on the inside,
you know, the curved cock is one of the most difficult things to like. Sometimes they have to turn around to hit your G spot, right. You know, to not be poking out the side of your abdomen or whatever. Like, it feels like they're poking your ovary when they're, you know, that's a curved cock is I find much more challenging than a smaller than average penis. It's, for me, it's a lot of clitoral stimulation that's my go-to. That's my favorite. And I feel like I'm totally in control of my orgasms, because I'm very much in the energy zone and drawing my energy into my sexual play and kind of having a transcendent experience mm-hmm. by being so tuned in sensually, that that's what that's really about for me. But when I say that can I just be real? I'll just
go
be
for
real.
It, man. If what we're here for.
I'm really sorry, but I had, I had one man that had just, I named his cock Goliath, and and I took that whole thing and I was like, what the hell? Like, oh, does it ever end inside there? Like, I did not think it was going to happen. Like, I thought I'd be like stuck on the top of a pole, you know, and spinning or something. But no, for however it happened, I took all of Goliath balls deep, and he was very, very happy about it. To me, I was afraid I was going to tear. I was, worried about what he was hitting up inside there, because I knew it wasn't a never-ending pit. You know, I knew there had to be a stop point somewhere. And yeah, and you're right. It's all about position and about the friction, really, you know.
And the readiness. I mean, I think that is so often, you know, can be a problem. Is if you don't have long enough and it's a larger, you know, it's a larger penis you're trying to put in there and you don't have lubrication, that's painful, or it can be very painful.
It can be, yeah. And you can stretch. I mean, there are large dildos and stuff that you can practice with. There are dilation tools where you actually put like a bladder up inside and you, like a blood pressure cuff where you turn the knob on the thing and you pump it full of air so you can kind of stretch that inside of there to make it bigger if you wanted to. The idea of the Kegels is to make it tighter, mm-hmm. to make it muscular, and like that you're grabbing onto the cock when it goes into you. Like anybody, if we were doing a video right now, I told you I use my hands a lot. I'm like making a fist with my hands, like I'm grabbing it, you know? So, right. But that's the idea, is to make it tighter. But if you're having trouble with size and being able to accept a larger man, then you wouldn't want to be working so hard with Kegels and pulling your, I mean, it'll help you with your orgasms and your pleasure, hopefully. And just to be in control of your body in that way and pointing your energy in that area of your body during sex. But knowing that it makes it like a tight muscle versus a looser muscle might make it a little less comfortable if you're trying to take a, what did I say the big one is for a guy, the horse. Yeah, you're trying to take a horse and you're a deer. That's a big size difference. So that makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. And one thing I want to describe is the Kegel itself. If somebody isn't familiar with a Kegel, like if you imagine yourself stopping to pee in mid pee stream, that's a Kegel. And you can feel, so I had a doctor, and this was
I'm
a
doing
non,
it right now.
Yeah. I know, me too. This was funny. In one of my classes, we had a woman come in and talking about, I don't remember exactly what she was talking about, but she said, okay, well, is there anybody in here who will come up and do Kegels with me? And nobody else apparently in the room knew what a Kegel was. And or at least they didn't admit it. And I raised my hand and then I went up and she's like, okay, let's do Kegels. And so we sat up there, you know, doing nothing from everybody else's point of view, doing Kegels. But it's, I had a doctor who, because we were doing some pelvic floor stuff, so this wasn't a sexual thing at all. This was about pelvic floor strength. And the exercise is basically do a Kegel. So you're like stopping pee, feeling like you're stopping pee in midstream. Do that with your vagina and then do that with your anus and then mm-hmm. do it in the reverse order. So gaining control over those three things. So if that's kind of what it is. So if you can think of not peeing or stopping to pee and then do that with your vagina, you can feel that if that's something that somebody's really new to doing. And yeah. And I think the one thing I do want to say in my opinion, because I know some men get really hung up on their penis size and some one person I was in a relationship with was just like almost apologetic. And it was like, dude, it's perfect. Like,
yeah,
you know, it was like, how, you know, there is no reason to feel anything about anything. You just want to be able to just strip them of that emotion or feeling or discomfort, because it's like, it's such a non-issue. And for me, especially with this person, it was a real non-issue. It was, you know, it was a very perfect match in that respect. But in my mind, it's not, again, if it's, you can do a lot of things. It's not the size. It's what you can
it's
do
what
with it.
What you do with it. Right. It's not the size of the boat. It's the motion in the ocean.
Right. Exactly. And so, you know, although I know that I have heard it said, you know, that men, with smaller penises, because of their discomfort, they're actually better at pleasing women, because they are learning to compensate whether they need to or not.
They use their hands, they use toys, they let the woman do what she needs to do to get off. Maybe they're more attentive emotionally or with foreplay and stuff. No, absolutely on point.
So, yeah, and where some guys with large penises forget that there is anybody else in the room.
That's right. And they let their cock make all the decisions, and it's all about their cock.
Right.
You know, there is so much to be said about identity and a man's penis. Most of my clients that I get in my sexual authenticity coaching is men who have developed health issues and are dealing with erectile dysfunction, whose parents have passed or are no longer active in their lives, and they watched all the institutions of the past crumble. So they're having total identity crisis. It's an identity thing, because they can't even rely on their cock to work. Mm-hmm. They can't even rely on the fact that they have an erection and the size of their penis to make them a whole person. So it's very, very, it's incredibly decimating to a man to have erectile dysfunction. And then it fucks with their head, because once they're diagnosed with it, they feel like they're broken. Mm-hmm. So as women, we don't have that pressure. I mean, we go through menopause, maybe we need to use lube, maybe we lose a little of our libido and stuff like that. And a lot of that is in our heads. Honestly, if you really think about it, a lot of getting out of touch with our libido is about putting other things first and not being plugged into the idea, not feeling connected to our partner, not seeing the value in sexuality.
And I would say also culturally, mm-hmm. Not feeling the power to say, okay, my body is changing. Mm-hmm. We need to do something different.
And, yeah, being able to communicate around it, sure.
And men, you know, their partners, male or female, need mm-hmm. to be, you know, need to be open and accepting of that as well in that communication. Yeah. It takes a lot of courage to communicate and say, we need to figure something out differently, or this is how I'm feeling. How can we still do this? Because I want to remain connected with you this way.
Yeah. I'm approaching 50 and I can feel the changes in my body happening. I still have my monthly cycle. I have the night sweats. I have the forgetfulness. I haven't had any dryness or anything yet, but my husband and I are having regular conversations about the fact that I am aging, my body is changing, and that it's going to, at some point, I keep the lube by the bed in case someday the faucet shuts off, you know, because you don't know when it's going to happen. And I don't want to have that. I always am forward thinking. And I know that just because my body changes like that, does not make me less of a woman, and it doesn't make me not a wife to my husband. So for me, our sexuality and our connection through sex is really important to our relationship. And I want to make sure that that stays that way. But I can totally understand where with a man, once he has erectile dysfunction and he can't get it hard anymore, I'm sure you know that a man with ED can still come. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of women and a a lot of men even don't even realize that they can still come. It takes a lot of work. So you need a woman who's willing to give a good blowjob or three. But once I'm a fluffer. I love to do the
Fluffer, is that your word? That's a term I've never heard before.
Well, here's what it is. It's from the porn industry. The women on the sides of the set fluffing the men to get them ready for the show.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was my go-to during my sexual exploration. If I was not really interested in having sex with a man, I'd give him a blowjob to get him off my case. And I'd say, okay, goodbye, go away. Because there's a lot of power about having a guy's cock in your mouth. And my mouth is tiny. It's probably a rabbit. But I've always said that it's really good for the neckline. It's really good. I'm looking in the camera again. Your face, you got nice tight muscles in your face and your neck from all the sucking and blowing. So it's, to me, I enjoy it. I enjoy the power of being able to hold a man's cock in my mouth and give him that kind of pleasure, or bite it off if I needed to, you know, what the hell, you know. I could ask for anything during a blowjob and get what I want, you know. So.
That is true. There is a lot of, you are in a really
powerful place.
Powerful
right?
place. Mm-hmm. Yes. That yeah. is very true.
So, but you know, all that being said, it's still to a guy, it really changes up everything, because for a lot of their life, the way men have been raised through, whether you want to call it toxic masculinity or whatever else, has been identified with their cock and cock size and comparison. We go back to comparison, always comparing, well, is mine as big as his? Can, you know, if only it was bigger. It wasn't until, oh, here's a good one. My ex-husband, it wasn't until he went to school at an electrical college or something. He only went for one semester because he was a dropout. That's what he did a lot of times in my relationship with him, was start something and then drop out. But he went to school and he had to live on campus. And while he was there, they had to do group showers. It was, you know, a big room, lots of shower heads, kind of like you see in the movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until after he had done that, when he was 24 years old, that he came home and said, "Oh, I have an average penis." Huh. He didn't know.
Wow.
He always was wondering, you know, if he was small, if he was big, if he was, you know, but he wasn't a guy who looked at porn. He was, because it all was dirty to him. He was very, like, it was, sex was disgusting. So that probably had a big part in why our sexual relationship was so poor, because he wasn't authentic with himself. He didn't know his body. He didn't know how he fit in sexually. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, going to a good sex party, it's going to sound really funny. Going to a good sex party is very revealing. If you can go to a sex party and look around a room and see all the different types of body shapes and all the different penises and all the different labias and all the different party socks and the way different people fuck and the way some people, you know, you can pick up tips. You can, I mean, like, it depends on your frame of reference when you go in. I took everything in scientifically and was observing for my book, and it was all this huge experiment for me. Mm-hmm. But I learned a whole lot by going to sex parties, and just kind of like, you just kind of see so much, and what circumcised ones look like, what uncircumcised ones look like, you know, the difference between that and sex, you know, does it feel different? Does it not feel different? You know, all that kind of jazz. Mm-hmm. It's all a big wide world out there. Sex, the final frontier. You know, it's just like, I hear Star Trek music playing in the background.
No kidding.
Whatever.
but I think you're right too. And that's the other thing. It is, like you said, the varying body shapes, and you know, and because again, so many people's sex education is based around porn, which is, I think, one of the biggest disservices to both men and women for completely different reasons and similar reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where porn is dangerous to me. It's not so much the porn itself. It's that when it's used for sex education, and that's all you're looking at, and that's all you're diving into, and that's all the experience you've had. And then I was reading a book by actually somebody who's going to be on my other podcast, talking about when she was doing some sex research, looking for labia, different pictures of labia.
Yes.
That you can't find anything that isn't a thin white woman. And she was talking in this book to a woman who was Black, who said, yeah, imagine being a Black woman trying to go on the web and just try to find out, are my labia normal? Is this...
They're not looking in the right place, Judy.
Well,
tell them to find me. And
all right. See,
I'll show them. I will get them hooked up with just the right place to find any Technicolor labia they want to see. You just need to know where to go.
But it's not so easily out there, right?
No.
It's not the first thing that necessarily pops up. And I think we are getting more, a little bit better as far as, you know, even porn that is
diverse,
you know,
and inclusive.
Right. And
yeah.
Women, you know, more women friendly, more, you know, I think it's there are people out there who are trying to do that, to say, hey, this doesn't have to be a bad thing, you know, but this isn't helping so much of what's out there because it's so fake and so phony. And so if you're a guy and all you've ever watched is porn, well, you're going to come away with thinking, I'm not the right size. I don't last long enough. You know, gosh, how do I look from behind when I do this? You know, which is what every woman also feels when, you know, because again, that's what, and you know, and if you know that that's what your partner is watching, that it's hard to not compare yourself, right? We don't live in a society, again, what we're trying to do differently here to make it more of a normal thing, so that there aren't just those minimal options. And again, I think we're getting better, but I still think there's so far to go. And there are people who grow up in, you know, in families who are very strict, or how much work we have right now to not teach, you know, kids really about sex and the pleasure of sex and all of those things that the people are kind of actively trying to shut down, and other people are actively trying to open up. And we have us as adults who are trying to sort of recover from our
shame, right?
Yeah. The shame, the discomfort, all of that has happened. And I'm, again, another topic for another time of, you know, what does the culture look like from generations behind us, and the goods and the bads, you know, the positives and negatives.
I wonder if I have an addiction, because we just talked about sucking penises and I had to pull out a Tootsie Pop. I apologize. And I'm licking
you're
a lot.
You're very suggestive. I don't know if I'd say it's an addiction. Maybe it's a suggestion.
Suggestion, yeah.
You know, you're very suggestive.
I'm easily suggested.
Right.
Easily influenced. Is that what it is? Anyway, anywho.
So let's get back to the size and the Kegels. And because one of the things I want to ask you about too is Kegels for men. What is the benefit for Kegels for men? And I assume, because I've never been a dude, Kegels for men is the same thing as women, the same example of stopping yourself peeing midstream, right?
Well, yeah, it is. Except this, the Kegels exercise actually helps to build the pelvic muscles. Men have pelvises too. Oftentimes you can visually see a Kegel in motion when a man makes his penis bounce or dance or whatever, you know, when they're standing there and they flex their boob muscles, they can do this with their tits, you know?
Yep.
Well, when they flex their Kegel muscles, they make their cock go up and down, you know, and they sometimes make it dance or whatever. They can be really stupid about it or whatever. Anyhow, because they're guys, a lot of guys like to make jokes about it. Oh, that's what I've experienced anyway. Like put a little hat on it or something, draw a little face, a little mustache, and have it talking to you. Oh gosh, I've seen so much. Anyway, Yeah, it's like weightlifting for a guy because their stuff is on the outside. So when they do Kegel muscle exercises, they're actually lifting the weight of their cock and balls against their, you know, against their pelvic muscles. So it's just another way of pumping iron, guys. You know, you just gotta, it's just another muscle in your body. It actually draws into your lower abdominis muscles. So even for women, when we do our Kegel muscles, it helps you get into that lower part of your abdomen, that very lowest part of the six pack that's down right above the pubis. And
you'll feel that if you're doing it. You'll feel it.
Yeah, you should. You should be able to put your hand there and just feel that it's ever so slight. Mm-hmm. It's just a slight little, but it's such a powerful muscle in there. And it also helps with men when you have erectile problems and stuff, maybe not necessarily with medication, but perhaps it has something to do with blood flow in other ways or something, that you can kind of pump blood into that area by focusing on that muscle, just like any place else on your body. And it helps you draw the energy down into that pelvis area. So pelvic muscles for the men and the women both need to be exercised. It helps with the thrust for a man. When you're thrusting, if you give that little extra push of your Kegel muscle, you can lift your penis along the inside of the vaginal wall, and you'll almost always hit the G spot up there with the head of your cock. So that's just a little tip from Patricia. Bonus.
Woohoo, exactly. Homework. So, when your partner or your brother or whatever makes his penis dance, he's actually doing something good for himself.
That's right. He's lifting weights.
Whatever we have to call exercise in this culture, we will call exercise.
That's right. Now, if they start hanging things off their cock and balls and doing exercises, that can hurt them. So that's called something totally different. That's CBT, cock and ball torture. So you don't want to encourage that, ladies. You know, if you see that going on, you may want to say
something.
Is there
a safe way to do that? Not that I'm interested. I'm just curious. not that I'm interested in anybody showing me. I'm just curious.
A safe way to lift weights with your cock?
Yeah, like would there be either a safe way or is that a form of kink that somebody can do safely?
Some guys just really like to hang things from their cock and balls and try and make them swing or bounce or.
But is there a safe way to do it, or is it just a dangerous thing?
No, I think you can damage yourself.
Okay.
A lot of the people who like cock and ball torture have nerve issues down there.
Oh dear.
So they're bringing pain on to incite pleasure.
Okay. Well, I know I saw a video, you know, and I know there's a ton of them, but I remember the first video that I saw of this, where a guy, you know, a woman was just kicking the shenanigans out of this dude's testicles. Yeah. And it was just like, oh my God, how can you even take that? That was exactly my thought when I was watching this, of like, oh my God, dude, that's like just not going to work anymore someday.
Yeah. Now, and like for women, we can lift weights with our Kegels by using Benoit balls, mm-hmm. or the jade eggs. There's three different sizes of eggs, and you should always start with the smallest one. Just know that your vagina is not an endless cavern. What you put up inside of your vagina will come out. You may have to fish it out, but it's safe. You can put stuff up in your, it's not going to get sucked into your cervix. There's a wall there. There's nothing. It can't go any further. Okay. There are little pockets and stuff along the way up at the very top where it can kind of, you know, all right. Yeah.
Where the NuvaRing might sit.
Yeah. Right. Well, one time I was being playful, and I was at a golf tournament, and I hid some golf balls up there, and I had trouble getting them out.
Oh.
And I thought I was going to have to go to the emergency room, but because, you know, it's slippery and I'm an elephant and they really went up inside there. But I ended up just bearing down like I was in childbirth and they came out just fine. They would not get lost up in there. You do need to get them out. You would need to remove an egg or something like that for hygiene reasons so that you don't get a bacterial infection, you know, that kind of a thing. But it's not going to get lost up there forever. Don't panic.
I've known women who have used tampons as a form of birth control. So they've stuck a couple up there and lost the last one.
Oh,
and
dear.
I know that they've gone to the emergency room. I don't know if it could have been. I can imagine that you could probably get in there and get it out, but I know people have gone to the emergency room to have it taken out.
You'd probably need a second pair of hands, and that can be fun too. Right? You have a friend come over. Hey, I have a job for you.
Exactly.
I'd only trust you to do this. Would you go look up inside here with a flashlight and a spoon and pull that golf ball out for me, please? I don't get it.
Yeah. Help me fish this out.
Right. So funny.
Oh, but yeah. Well, and I've known women who have forgotten about tampons that they said that they've forgotten, and eventually they come popping out.
Another one. So. And their rank. I mean, when they come.
Yeah. Don't do that.
It's not a good thing. So,
no.
Yeah.
Don't forget they're up there.
There's that toxic shock syndrome to think about. The longer they're up there, the more susceptible you are.
Right. But, gosh, I haven't heard about that for a long time.
Yeah, they still send the little papers in the tampon boxes, you don't hear about it much.
No, you don't hear. I've heard of a couple people who have had it or thought they had it, but I haven't heard very much about it. So, which is good. I mean,
turn a corner. Yeah. Just get a vaccination. that's a whole nother show too.
Right.
Forget it.
Awesome. Okay. What else do we need to know about Kegels and sizes? And I think the takeaways are to do your Kegels, but not too many. If you are somebody
if
who
tightness is an issue,
tighten.
If,
yeah.
Yeah.
And good for us all. Is there something with the prostate too that's a good thing for men and Kegels? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yes, yes, yes. It stimulates the prostate because it's right along that the muscle, the ligaments of the muscle run right along the sides of the prostate. So it stimulates it. It keeps it getting the blood flow there. And that's really a big important part of it. Prostate problems happen a lot. That's a whole other show too. We should talk about prostates another show.
Okay. Prostates.
Yeah, let's put that on the list.
That's a very, yes, good plan.
But the other thing I wanted to talk about, just as far as like size goes for women, just understand that, you know, when you have a partner and say they're very large and you can only get maybe the first 3 inches of their cock into you. Maybe they have a 10 inch cock. So you're at a 7 inch deficit or something as far as that space goes, that, you know, not being able to get it in. Mm-hmm. Believe me, honey, the tip of that cock is the most important thing. And as long as they can, as long as they are getting that stimulation to the head of the penis, they're going to be satisfied. And guess what? They're hitting it. So they are a very fortunate man. There is nothing wrong with being a deer or a mare or an elephant. Believe me, elephant was a little hard to swallow when I've been trying to fight being a cow all my life. No, really, I had weight problems all my life and I always associated with a cow. And then to find out I have an elephant vagina, I was just like, what? You know, where the hell is this coming from? So it's just another way that we can judge ourselves or compare ourselves. But it's also a way to understand our bodies and to not feel like we're broken or there's something wrong or we're not good enough. It's just people are made differently. And there are ways to stretch it a little bit with the dilators and things like that. If you're interested in any of that sort of thing, just reach out and ask, and one of us will message you back. And of course, you know, Kegel health is just really, really important, because if you're a woman, you can't, your vagina can fall out.
What does that mean?
That means, so you picture your vagina is like a sock, like a bunched up sock, right? Mm-hmm. It can come unattached and hang between your legs like a sock.
Wow.
It's called vaginal prolapse.
Ah, okay.
Very fixable, and it doesn't mean you can't have sex again, but it can happen. And tightening up your muscles around your vagina is really, really important to keep that from happening. So there's the fear of God I just put
right.
in.
No, kidding. I was just saying, there's
the incident. My God, my vagina is going to fall out.
Right. Yeah, well,
no, let's just keep it up there. Keep doing your exercises. And you can do Kegel exercises anywhere, any place, anytime. And
you
one
did
of
a
the
bunch
week,
of them, I bet, while we've been sitting here.
Yes, I have.
And you know, if you have a partner that works out, and you're not typically working out with them, well, here's what you can.
There you go. It's a joining thing. But here's another thing: is that people who are like erotically dysfunctional or erotically disconnected. Mm-hmm. This is a big place to focus, because you hear a lot of people talk about the root chakra and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think the Kegels are really tied to your root chakra. And if you are conscientious of what your sex is doing in everything that you do, if you're walking the dog, what is your sex doing? If you are bending over, what is your sex doing? If you are laying out, what is your sex doing? Pull those muscles in. If you're grocery shopping, what is your sex doing? Think about that pelvic region as a very important Bermuda Triangle that needs to be figured out. And you need to be doing those exercises and stuff to get back in touch with your erotic function. It's a really great way to just make your mind aware of your sex again. Mm-hmm. So because you're putting it on the to-do list, just like Dr. Phil says, you can't change what you don't acknowledge. And you have Kegel muscles. Everybody does. And they need to be worked just like every other muscle in your body. So there.
Right. Well, and I just want to say too, you know, when we talk about the length of the vagina, the average length of a vagina is 3-4 inches long. So it's not, so for men, when they're worried about lack of length, a lot of times it's really way, it's so not a thing.
It's low on the list. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really,
well, because let's think about the idea of that. 3 inches, the average, and the average length of a man is between 6 and 7 inches. I think it is 6 and 7 inches from the base of the cock to the tip. So if 3 inches is inside of a woman and they're putting the pressure on your clit the way they're supposed to with the top end of their cock, it should fit. Everything's proportionate, remember? So not that everybody's clit is in the same place, not that all that kind of jazz functions into the matter, you know, the way things work, but there's excess cock for the reason of being able to apply pressure to that part of a woman's anatomy and still be penetrating. Mm-hmm. So make it bendy.
Yeah, that makes sense. See? All it is, like you said, it's the proportion thing. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know,
finding a proportionate mate is an important thing to think about.
I always had that question when people would comment on couples who were, with the woman was really tiny and the guy was like super tall. Mm-hmm. You know, granted,
like how does that work, right?
Right, right. And I just remember at one point somebody finally said, you know, they were talking about a particular couple of the whole, but you know, it gets tricky when you're trying to take a picture of them because you had to take it sideways because she was like under 5 feet and he was over 6 feet. But then somebody finally just said, yeah, and how does the sex work? And I was like, ah, that's where it really is. That's what people are really commenting on.
No kidding. She must be an elephant.
Right?
Or he's not, whatever.
Right, exactly. Yes, somewhere I have, and I think I still have this book. My friend gave me the penis book years ago, and it's full of all different facts about penises, mm-hmm. and different types, shapes, and sizes.
Peni Grigio. I'm gonna make a new wine. Peni Grigio.
There you go. Each wine can have a picture of a penis on.
There you go.
On it. Different penises, different flavors.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah, we'd probably do really well. Mm. Fantastic for bachelorette parties.
Yeah.
All right. Well, should we close this one out?
I think that would be good. I think we explored Scythe and Kegels pretty good.
Yes, I think so as well. All right. Well, fantastic. Anything you want to say before we end this episode?
No, there's not much about this episode that I can offer a lot of extra sexual authenticity coaching around. Although,
nonetheless, you are a great source.
Yes, you can always reach me if you have any other issues around your sexual authenticity. And you can always send us questions. So if any of this, if you have comments or anything, make sure that you put them below. One of us will answer. And if you have questions you'd like to submit, please submit them to sexmatterspodcast.com. Sounds good.
All right.
Sex matters, right?
Sex matters.
Matters, period. Period. What?
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 Someday we'll be able to do that without laughing.
Right. I think the laughing makes it fun.
This is true. It's always good to end laughing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Everybody, enjoy your day. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week, and we'll see what we'll be talking about then.
All right. Bye, everybody.
At sexmatterspodcast.com, you can join our email list. And when you do, you get a PDF from Patricia of sex positive affirmations, not to mention a weekly email letting you know what podcasts are coming out. Send us questions you want us to answer on the show, topic suggestions, any other questions that you have for us, you can certainly send them there. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And please, if you like what you're doing, take a couple minutes to review on iTunes. Put a review up for us. We would greatly appreciate that. Check out Patricia's website at thepowerexchange.co. That's .co. You can also find her on Facebook at The Power Exchange or Patricia Engelking. You can look her up on Amazon and find her book, Crossing the River Called Suffering. My information is at wellnessren.com. You can check out my weekly podcast, Health and Wellness Podcast, covering a myriad of topics, people, and ideas at wellnessrenpodcast.com. And to leave you with a quote, it's National Kegel Exercise Day, multitasking at its finest. Brought to us by someecards.com. They have a lot of good stuff going on there. See you next time.